The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Zach Clark on from ESPN Tucson. He's our afternoon drive host in Tucson, all around Rich Rod. If you haven't heard, Rich Rod was fired last night. Jude LaCava is going to be with us at 10:35 today. Fox 10 sports director, longtime Valley sports voice of reason, in my opinion, and a good friend. Jude will be with us. Eric, where were you last, yesterday afternoon when Carson Palmer announces, where were you when that little sheet came out?
I was at home working on the story of the day before Carson Palmer retired, about 2 hours earlier, that James Betcher, defensive coordinator, is likely to be interviewed.
Yeah. So you're working on that, and yep. Then the word comes out on Carson Palmer, and what were your thoughts?
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Not either. Surprised at all. And I, you know, you knew that he was going to handle it the way he did, much like whenever Larry Fitzgerald announces his retirement, it will be in a player's tribute or an open letter.
The Athletic.
The Athletic or something that the Cardinals publish.
Right.
It won't be this big huge media gathering to announce retirement, because those guys just do it their way, and that's totally fine.
I feel bad for my TV brethren today, because I've been in this space. The news director that comes down the hall that has no clue at all on how the world works in sports. You have to have Carson Palmer on today. And so these guys haven't slept at all last night. They're sweating. They're coming into the meetings today. And no, Carson's handling it this way.
That's just the way it goes.
It's just the way it goes. Well, no, that's not good enough. That's just ridiculous. So I was out on a Jeep yesterday. I went Jeeping yesterday. I have family that's in town that called and said, we have our Jeep and we want to go in the Superstition Mountains. Have you ever gone Jeeping, Eric? You ever gone into the backwoods of Arizona, into the high country?
I have.
Do you like Jeeping, going over rocks, rock crawling?
You know, I went in Sedona many, many years ago, and that's about the only time that I went. And to be honest with you, Brad, I really can't even remember it. It was so long ago.
I will remember this because I'm in a Jeep. Now, I'm 6'8", right? I don't have a helmet on. I'm kind of bowing my head to the side. We're on a trail that supposedly was easy, and it's like straight up, and we have to open this gate. You put a code in, and you get through this gate, and you're driving through washes, and you're out in the Superstition Mountains.
Okay,
in the
I was going to ask
nowhere.
Where exactly
Superstition
you were.
Mountains.
So far, 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 far
I had
East Valley.
No idea. I was going out to pick up my wife at their campsite after we finished the show yesterday, and they said, let's go Jeeping. And I'm like, I've never gone Jeeping before in Arizona. Why not? So we go out, and we're in the middle of total nowhere, and my head is getting thrown around. I'm whacking my, they got the oh my God handle, and we're sideways, leftways, rightways. There's quads that are racing past us. I'm going to sound really old here for a second, but it was enjoyable for a bit. The rest of the time, I was being pleasant and nice, and boy, this is a lot of fun. We're going 2 miles an hour over rocks that nobody should be driving over, and I'm thinking, what is the attraction here? Now, when we're down in the gullies and the ditches and all that stuff, it was really cool. It was really cool. But once we started going up these hills with no trail or very little trail, and supposedly it's easy, I reach into my pocket, and I pull out my phone, and there's no service. Well, it's no service. It's the 2nd of January. It's a nice day to be out and enjoy 70 degrees. Brad, you just need to relax and enjoy yourself. So I come down off the Jeep, off the trail. We finally make our way back to civilization. I can see it. I've been thrown all around for a couple of hours. And my phone just went. And I pick it up and I see Carson Palmer retires 31 minutes ago or something. And the staff was on it. Everybody was already working on it. That was yesterday afternoon. So I figure, you know, when I get back from Jeeping, I get back from the campsite, we have a few adult beverages, we have some nice dinner, we're sitting out watching the sunrise moon and all that. And I get home and I sit down to start, I'm going to write something on Carson Palmer. I got lots of stories. I got lots of anecdotes. And all of a sudden I get a text, Rich Rod's in trouble. And he wasn't just in some trouble. Like 30 minutes later, fired, gone, see you later. And then 45 minutes later, it's Rich Rod sending out a tweet explaining his side of the story. And there's some pretty sordid details within the story that he sent out. And people online last night, once, Eric, I sent you that tweet about, is this real or not? And I know you have to look for the little blue dot on Twitter, but did you read that? The Rich Rod response?
Oh, yeah, I did. And I wondered,
what were you thinking?
My first reaction was, did Rich Rod just pull out his phone, open up a notepad on his iPhone, and just start piecing this together? Or was this something that either his lawyer or agent instructed him to do as quickly as possible? It's one of those things where see the fire, get to the fire, try to put out the fire.
I mean, it had legally, it had, we're lawyering up all over it. That's how I read it. And then
he will, but Rich Rod will recycle himself, Brad.
He can go sit in front of a camera and he'll be fine.
Yeah. Or he could do Bobby Petrino and just hang out, maybe take a little bit lesser of a job, clean up his image, because Rich Rodriguez knows how to coach football.
It sounds to me, okay, by reading through his tweet, that he's trying to work on things with his marriage. He had an extramarital affair that he admitted to openly last night, which, by the way, when you put that on Twitter in ASU territory, it just doesn't end well. It just doesn't. Some of the stuff that was out there last night, this is not open mic night, but it's chum in the water. It's just how it works. And then the Todd Graham stuff started coming out from people saying, well, they should hire Todd Graham. That's not going to happen. It's nice in fantasy world. It's nice in fantasy world. Kevin Sumlin, does it make a lot of sense? Does Dino Babers make a lot of sense? If you're trying to find people, Ricky Hundley make a lot of sense? I don't know.
But a Tucson paper did run an article this morning listing Todd Graham as a potential candidate. It wasn't just like the
Twitter. Was it the Daily Star?
I believe so. It wasn't just the Twitter world, you know, throwing that around. Okay. He did mention Sumlin and he did mention Todd Graham. I mean, that would make quite the teacup next year if Todd Graham leads U of A against Herm Edwards and ASU, but I agree. I can't see that happening.
Okay, so roll with me for a second.
Okay.
I need to take care of this. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor. Guys, you need to take care of your life insurance. It is now 2018. You put it off for another year. When was the last time, or maybe never, ever, have you gotten a quote? Have you looked into life insurance? Protect what matters most. Sagicor now. Log on. Get your free quote. Get the information. Check it out. You need to take care of business, especially as your family continues to grow and you go through life. If it doesn't matter if it's your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Doesn't matter. Got to take care of it. Sagicor now. Appreciate their support here on the show. Okay, so let's, Eric, let's go through this with Todd Graham. Todd Graham, for all of what he did right at Arizona State, I think Todd Graham took his eye, it's no secret, he took his eye off what he was supposed to do, which was coach football, and he and Mike Norvell grew distant and grew apart, the staff moved on, it didn't work out. Todd Graham, though, is a cleanup guy, right? Isn't that the best way to put Todd Graham now? He can come into a situation and he can clean up a mess. I'm not sitting here today saying that he should be the guy at the U of A. If the Daily Star listed him, I like Ryan Finley, I like Bruce Pasco, I like Greg Hansen. I would think that they would not irresponsibly throw that name out there. So there should be somebody somewhere is saying, look, maybe we go this direction at a late date. The U-Haul costs would be a lot less. Just go right down the road and get it done. But Todd is a cleanup guy. I will say that. Kevin Sumlin in Tucson feels to me like I'm going to be here for all of 365 days and then I'm going to get the heck out of Dodge. That's a recycled, yeah, he did a nice job at Texas A&M, but it's one thing to recruit to College Station, being in Texas. It's another to say, hey, come to Tucson.
Well, and both of those guys, Brad, are in somewhat of a position of power because they're both very wealthy. I mean, they don't necessarily
paid to do nothing this
they
year.
They don't, yeah, for many years. They don't have to just jump at a job just to jump at a job unless they just can't get the itch of coaching out of them. And they need to work immediately. But I agree with you. I mean, if I'm Kevin Sumlin, I'd probably pass on that U of A job.
So I was told just recently that Todd was all over the SMU job and they wouldn't sniff him. And that he's now looking at going into media. How would Todd Graham be behind a microphone? He'd drive producers crazy when he says the same old stuff over and over and over, from my point of view. But I think he'd be very good at it. Look, I like Todd. I don't dislike him. But it was time for him to move on from here. He did what he was supposed to do. Him going to Tucson, Dino Babers, I mean, that's, I think when you throw out former Wildcat names, that's kind of like when we went through this phase with Arizona State, where it was hire Danny White and call it a day. And Danny couldn't get the interest, didn't have his degree, whatever it was at the time, and now he does. But I think that window, that ship has sailed for Danny. I do. Can the U of A go get the young, hot assistant coach? I'll give you, a guy like Charlie Ragle's not going to be the head coach at the U of A, but I think Charlie Ragle would love to get back to the state of Arizona. So it depends on who gets hired. This week in college football alone, it's going to be a big week for they're adding another assistant coach. Anyways, too much information there. Point in all of it is Bruce Arians retires, Carson Palmer retires, Rich Rod's in a scandal and gets fired, and we're only on the third day of January. And the shoe to drop that everybody is waiting to see is, what will Larry Fitzgerald do? What will Larry do? And I agree with Eric. Larry will feed that story to Jim Trotter, in my opinion, or someone at the Players Tribune, in my opinion. It's not going to be given, and I could be wrong on this, it's not going to be given to the Cardinals website. Larry retiring is different than Carson retiring. He is. And anybody that thinks that the Cardinals are going to trade Larry Fitzgerald out of here and try to get some assets back at this point of his career, I think you've been nipping on the cooking sherry or something in the upper cabinet in your kitchen. I just don't see that happening. So much more on this on the Cardinals front. But on the other side, we're going to go to Tucson. Zach Clark with ESPN Radio Tucson on the other side, their afternoon drive host. He's been all over the U of A story with Rich Rod. That is next. Then Jude LaCava. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Arizona Wildcats fired Rich Rodriguez after six seasons in the wake of a sexual harassment allegation, and the university began investigating this back in October. Rich Rod was fired yesterday. Let's go to Tucson now. Zach Clark is with us, ESPN Radio Tucson. On the firing of Rich Rodriguez, Zach joins us via Skype. All right, what is the feel in Tucson today about the Rich Rod bombshell?
Well, I think, Brad, that part of it is just whiplash, that this story came to a head about 7:30 last night on a report from USA Today and Dan Wolkin. And then, Brad, within 90 minutes, Rich Rodriguez had been fired. I don't think this was something that most of us had on the forefront. There had been rumblings that this, you know, had been going on, and the investigation began back in October. But I don't think we knew the gravity of it until some of the details started to come out. And then all of a sudden, at 7:30, the story comes out, and at 9 o'clock, or by 9 o'clock, he had been fired. So I think whiplash is the best way to describe it. And then Rich Rodriguez is a polarizing guy, Brad. There's a lot of people in Tucson that are big fans of Rich Rodriguez, and there are a lot of people that aren't. So there are people on both sides of the fence right now. It doesn't seem like really anybody's in the middle. A very interesting time to be in Tucson.
So, Zach, when we're talking about U of A athletics, okay, we'll get back over to the Rich Rod piece, but U of A had the Book Richardson situation with basketball. There's been some other incidents around the athletics department. I guess I'm curious how much of this falls under Greg Burns' watch, how much of it falls under Hickey's watch, the new athletic director. And this is a black eye of black eyes at a time for Tucson athletics, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think that's why everything happened so quickly. You mentioned Book Richardson. You can talk about Orlando Bradford a couple of years ago, who was arrested. He is now in prison after he assaulted not one but two females and held them, I don't want to say hostage, but he was charged with kidnapping. One of those females is suing the university. And then you can look at Craig Carter, the throwing coach and the track and field team, and his problems with Bailey Gibson. At one point, he had a box cutter to her throat saying he was going to kill her. Mm. And so you have all of this happening right now. And again, I think that's why everything happened so quickly last night. And then you asked me as far as, like, how do we parse this responsibility-wise? I think that you look at Greg Byrne, all of the things that I just described happened under his watch. I'm not saying that's why he went to Alabama, but that smile of his at the Sugar Bowl was wide, and part of that is because he knows he's not in Tucson. As far as Dave Hickey, he has responsibility in this too. I don't think this is of his doing, but he is in control right now, so it is going to be on him to fix it. I don't place a lot of blame on Dave Hickey, on Dr. Robert Robbins, the president. Both of these gentlemen are less than a year into their installments at their position, so I don't really blame them too much, and I think that they're at this point trying to draw a line in the sand, though some people say, you know, why didn't Sean Miller receive more swift punishment? Mm-hmm. But I do think that we're going to learn a lot, and we are learning a lot about Robert Robbins and Dave Hickey right now.
We're talking with Zach Clark, ESPN Radio Tucson. Letter of intent day in football is 4 weeks away. We've already had the early period. Feel bad for those players that have signed and their coach gets fired. Do we know about the entire staff? Have they been let go, one? And two, how does this impact recruiting for U of A football?
Well, you know, the recruiting for Arizona had struggled as is, and this class wasn't too highly anticipated. That's certainly not going to help. But I do think that obviously there was a disconnect between recruiting and Rich Rodriguez. I do think it's possible that the next coach, whoever it may be, does a better job of recruiting. I'm not saying that what's happening here is a good thing, but certainly this is not the time you'd want to have a lot of flux. That said, Brad, I do feel sorry for these young men too. I think Arizona signed 15 people in the early signing day, so they really only have two targets on their board, a young man, Adam Plant, out in Las Vegas, and then a local kid right here in Tucson, and Jamari Joyner, a quarterback. So the recruiting cycle for Arizona is really now on 2019, but certainly you have this instability. And then you asked about the rest of the staff. Marcel Yates, who is the defensive coordinator, is now the interim head coach. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. A lot of people are finding out a lot of things over the last 12 hours or so via email. It seems like right now Rich Rodriguez is out, and everybody else for the moment is at least in a holding pattern, except for Marcel Yates, who will be the interim head coach until a decision is made.
Okay, let's then focus on the decision. From a distance, I see names like Todd Graham, and I laugh on one hand. On the other hand, the Daily Star did print his name, and I know Ryan Finley in that group, and they would not be irresponsible to do so. Todd's a cleanup guy, in my opinion. Kevin Sumlin, big name who's sitting out there on the sideline. Does he make sense in Tucson? I think he's there for all of, 520 area code for a year maybe, Zach, and that's about it. Who are some names that have surfaced early for the U of A head football job to replace Rich Rod?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that Kevin Sumlin shot to the top of the list as far as desirables. And you guys up in the Valley know this, Brad. He's done a very good job of going from College Station into Phoenix and plucking top kids mm-hmm. left and right. He's done a very good job of that. So obviously, that would be something that would excite Arizona fans. Would he stay? Could they afford him? I mean, because remember, they got to pay Rich Rodriguez a $7 million buyout or $6 million buyout or whatever it is. And plus, if they lose the lawsuit at $7.5 million, I mean, they're out like $14 million not even hiring a head coach yet, and Arizona's not flush with cash. There's a lot of talk down here. There's a lot of pride today with the Arizona fan base. You hear names like Chuck Cecil or Teddy Bruschi. I just don't think there's an Arizona alum out there
Dino
that
Babers.
Is ready to
Dino,
be.
Dino Babers' name has been out there.
Now, Dino Babers, as a former coordinator, that to me makes a lot more sense. But I'm talking about guys that put the helmet on and crashed through in the Desert Swarm era or what have you. And, you know, the Todd Graham is interesting. If this was, if we're looking for like a Band-Aid, I think he would be excellent in that short period of time. Does Arizona want to keep going through coaching changes? Do you want to hire a guy that just got canned in Tempe? I don't know. And then keep your eye on the UTSA head coach. And I'll throw one more name out there in Butch Jones. Dave Hickey hired him the first time at Central Michigan. Butch Jones out of a job at Tennessee right now. We all know how interesting that coaching search became. But right. There are some names out there as far as how it plays out. It'll be very interesting to see because all the guys that are still out there need jobs. And I think Arizona's the only one left. You throw Les Miles' name in there. I'll give you one more. Alex Grinch, he's the defensive coordinator at Washington State, considered to be maybe the best coordinator in the conference. I think he would be an interesting conversation piece as well.
Before I let you go, so five bowl games in Rich Rod's run, what's the legacy? Is it what happened in the last 24 hours or 12 hours, whatever it is? Or is it he took the football program, they got some facilities built, Greg helped out, he made U of A football relevant at a time where basketball was overshadowing everything else? What's the legacy, Zach? You're there, I'm not.
Yeah, it's a great question, and obviously time is really going to be the indicator here. You look at, he went 43-35 in six seasons at Arizona. It's not easy to win football games here in Tucson. I will point out, though, that in 54 conference games, he only won 24 of them. Mm-hmm. Five bowl games, they went 3-2. But I think the legacy will end up being somewhat similar to what it was with Mike Stoops, in that you take a football program that had fallen on hard times, you improve them, you get them to the summit, and then you stall out and can go no further. It felt like Arizona had hit somewhat of a wall, though I guess with Khalil Tate and his abilities, we don't know what Arizona has next season. I mean, they could be phenomenal. They could be questionable. Mm-hmm. But I do think people will wonder what if, you know, after that 2014 season, if they could have kept some momentum. But you're right in that winning and being of note in Tucson is hard with football because of what the basketball program does. And then we also will see how much more we learn about Rich in the next coming days, because, look, I don't claim to know him really well, but some of these allegations have caught me off guard. But I guess you don't know somebody until you know them.
Sure. Good way to put it. Good stuff there, Zach. Appreciate you jumping on board with us. Thanks.
Yep. My pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Sure. Zach Clark there, ESPN Tucson, joining us via Skype. Jude LaCava on the other side. What's Larry Fitzgerald's move on all this with the Cardinals and the next coach for the Cardinals and Carson Palmer retiring and so much more? Busy Wednesday. All of our content up on our website, sports360az.com. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings this week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Check us out before and after the Suns Coyotes games this time of year and throughout the day. Back after this timeout. Now on a busy Wednesday, we turn our attention to things on the Cardinals front and also U of A in just the last 24, 36 hours with Jude LaCava, Fox 10 sports director. You and I have seen a lot through the years. I'm just wondering, how would you describe 2018 on the sports scene 2 days in, Jude?
Crazy, hectic, unpredictable. Gosh, especially last night with the Rich Rod story. I mean, I you know, there's part of me that's never surprised by scandal and allegations and controversy in sports. I mean, I think there's the perception of what is, and then there's the reality, and right. They're two very different things. But we picked up last night that he was not going to survive this investigation, Rich Rod. And, you know, interesting, Brad, there is a guy out there right now that's known for his discipline and improving GPA, a guy by the name of Todd Graham. I wonder if U of A would reach out to him.
He's a cleanup guy, Jude. He's a cleanup guy.
He's available.
What's interesting about that is the Daily Star, and you and I know Greg Hansen, and we know the people there, Ryan Finley, their deputy sports editor. They're not irresponsible, and they printed his name today. And Bruce Pascoe's as good a writer as there is around. And I just thought, okay, it's one thing to see it on Twitter. It's completely another to see some people whose opinions I really do trust and who are plugged in list his name. What would that look like?
Well, that would be, you want to talk about adding a dimension to the rivalry. You know, listen, these guys are hired guns. They're mercenary. They go where the opportunity is, and they go where they can keep their careers alive. But, I mean, the reality of what played out, though, and again, I know Rich Rod is denying some of these allegations, and he certainly deserves his say, but I think you have to look at the action of termination. And if the U of A, based on the information they had from their own independent investigation, terminated Rich Rod and willing to give him 3.2 out the door, they had to do it. There's other sidebar investigations from what happened with one of their players in an assault mm-hmm. case, the track and field program. They had to make it look like they care and act swiftly and rapidly. But again, it speaks of this whole, I guess, concept of entitlement that many programs operate on. And, you know, it's that old school way that's now being exposed in terms of how you handle your staff or your administrative assistants. And then if you look at this so-called triangle of secrecy and keeping it away from Rich Rod's wife, I mean, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, you can't write this stuff. But it's unfortunate from the standpoint that it's another humongous Grand Canyon gap between what people think should be with student athletes and football programs and coaches and what really is.
Well, and you add to that, there's 15 kids that signed the dotted line on December 20th that are now stuck. Unless the NCAA says your coach is not there, you are now free to go, which I don't believe they're going to do. There's that side of it. You also have Book Richardson on the basketball program. I mean, U of A is a mess. They're a hot mess. There's no other way to put it. The things that you listed, and now what's happened with Rich Rodriguez, and you look at what's gone on at ASU with Herm Edwards, and you actually look at it and say, this will be the most fascinating football season that we've had in years, decades potentially, between what's gone on in Tucson and up here. And now we'll have a new coach with the Cardinals too, so let's move over to that. Larry Fitzgerald, what do you think happens?
I think Larry waits a long time to find out, one, first and foremost, who's going to be his head coach, and then who's going to be his quarterback. I think Larry really would love to be that number two all-time receiving yards receiver when he goes to the Hall of Fame. So I think he's going to wait it out. I don't think he has to make a decision right now. I think he has to kind of see what Mike Bidwell and Steve Keim will do. How will he play into this, what will be a new offense? Mm-hmm. Who will be the quarterback? So those are the most impressive things. But let me just say, in just going back a couple days, been around a long time out here, and I it was such an emotional press conference, Brad, that it speaks to the quality of the person of Bruce Arians. I've not even, you know, Mike Bidwell was somewhat choked up, and Steve Keim certainly was, and mm-hmm. we know how emotional Bruce Arians was, and it just speaks to how he coached, how he handled his players and his assistants. He was my favorite coach, and I go back to Gene Stallings, and I say that because he just had humor, he had candor, he had style, he had swag, and I just really going to miss covering a BA coach team because he made it fun. And look, he did win if you look at the big picture of the 5 years. So, but that was really unusual, and I think in some ways can be interpreted as a bit of a tribute to the way Bruce Arians went about his business and the person that he was.
But I do think it had grown stale. Not just him, but Carson and this whole, people talk about window of opportunity. There's times where you watch a team on the field and it's fine, it's great. Yeah, we know these players. There's lots of jerseys, there's lots of fans. But this is about as far as this team is going to go. And I think the whole thing had gotten stale in the last couple of years.
Well, I think the injury outbreak certainly contributed to that. And I also think it's why Bruce bowed out. Many coaches hang around too long. Yep. I mean, it was a great way to bow out in Seattle. I mean, my goodness. But they had some hard luck. And you know, you're always going to wonder what happened in that Carolina game in the NFC title game a couple of years ago. It was the best regular season we have seen from this franchise ever. But I think very few players, very few coaches – know when to bow out. I thought it was perfect timing for BA, and I think that he just said, look, this is as far as I can take it for a lot of reasons. It's time to step aside. And I think they're obviously going to go younger. I could see Pat Shurmur getting a strong hearing. I think Keith Armstrong from Atlanta has tremendous personality and gravitas around the league. I think James Betcher will be under consideration. I mean, he really did a marvelous job with that defense. Is he ready? I can't answer that. But I think this is still a pretty good job. Yeah, it's a bit of a rebuild, but that mm-hmm. defense is strong. Mm-hmm. And if you can be aggressive and target what you need in free agency, they could get back in this thing in a year or two.
Okay, do you draft or do you go out and try to find the next Carson Palmer when looking for a quarterback?
You go both ways. You look at, let's say, Alex Smith, if they want to make the move. Let's say they get knocked off this weekend, Kansas City, and Reed says, look, let's go with Mahomes. You know, he's got $14.5 million left on his final year of his contract. You look at Smith as a really good game manager. He's had a pretty good year for the most part. Then you come back and you move up in the draft for three or four of the quarterbacks that are out there, whether it's Allen from Wyoming, who's available, and you start getting that bridge to the future and developing a young quarterback. That's why I think it will be a young offensive coordinator that has a track record of developing the quarterback position.
Well, and Jude, there's one last thing on this. You and I have seen this organization, you longer than me, where there was a time where you couldn't trust the Cardinals as far as you could throw them, that they were just going to crap the bed and screw it up. Michael has proven people will say what they want about Ken Whisenhunt. Last time I checked, they got to a Super Bowl. And now they can say what they want about Bruce Arians. Everybody passed over Bruce Arians except Michael and Steve. So I have to believe that they're going to get this right. It's not always the case. We see in Chicago, recycle after recycle. We see in Cleveland until this year, recycle after recycle. So for those that say, well, the Cardinals screwed it up again, I just don't think they're paying attention. I do trust that they're going to get this done. They're going to get it figured out. I do believe that.
Well, they're 2 for 2. I mean, listen, the last 3 years were rough, but like you said, he took him to the highest point ever. And B.A. retires as the winningest coach in franchise history. So they're 2 for 2. And, you know, all the talk that we had heard before about the new stadium, I have to give credit to Mike. He nailed the last two coaching hires. This one's going to be a little more difficult because I think Bruce Arians was so well-liked and was the total package of experience, knew how to put a staff together, really had a very good relationship with the media for the most part, and a tough act to follow. So a critical hire, and other parts have to fall into place, and that means who's your quarterback, what do you do enough? Mike Munchak comes, Brad. I think he is at the very highest end of offensive line coaches. That would be a brilliant move because it's a sore spot with this franchise the last few years and contributed to the difficulty of the last 2 years. So if they can add a few parts here, in building this thing, they can turn this around fairly quickly. There's going to be some patience next year, but I agree with you. I think they're 2 for 2, and let's see if they can make it 3 in a row.
Well, and here's one other thought on this. You've seen this where a coach will come in, and it's usually when they are fired, not when they resign. When a coach gets fired, it's, well, he was too much of a disciplinarian. We need more of a player's coach. Player's coach comes in, well, he's too relaxed. He's not tough enough. We need a disciplinarian. Bruce was somewhere in the middle of that. So what type of guy are they going to have that comes in? You know what I mean? Like Wiz was very hard-nosed, hard-chinned, and stubborn in my view. Bruce had his stubbornness about him, but he also was a player's guy, pours the drinks in the parking lot story and all that. So there's somewhere in between on this one, or do you have a feel already as to what Mike and Steve are going to be looking for?
I think it's going to be quarterback-oriented only because this is a quarterback league now more than ever before. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Pat Shurmur, look what he's done with Bradford and Keenum up there at Minnesota. Pete Carmichael from the Saints had a really, really good year under Peyton. Even Matt LaFleur with the Rams is an intriguing talent, young. And if you look at the latest, hottest name, you know, the McVay model of the Rams, is there somebody like that? Tough to find. But I do think it's going to be on the offensive side of the football, quarterback-oriented. And then you got to look at supplementing that with a really, really good staff. And I thought that Bruce, for the most part, did that. Munchak would be a tremendous hire. Whether Betcher stays or not, I'd keep him as D coordinator. I would insist on that with the new head coach. I just think he has a great feel for personnel and really did a nice job. So you got a lot of moving parts, but I would have to say offensive side of the football and more quarterback-oriented and a younger guy that has an immediate track record you can sell out there that makes sense.
I'll throw one name at you and then I'll get you out of here. An agent threw at me. And on the McVay side, he said, go look at Lincoln Riley. Go look at what he's doing at Oklahoma. And he's already got NFL people looking at him. You know, David Shaw is the obvious college guy, but David Shaw's not leaving Stanford. If David Shaw were to leave, come here, it'd be a home run. But Chris Peterson, same way. Peter King told us yesterday, Chris Peterson's staying put. But I've heard Lincoln Riley is somebody that the NFL is somewhat infatuated with.
You know, I'm always skeptical of the college game in a sense that, coming from that type of offense. Now, look, I think he's been a great successor to Stoops, but I would have a tendency to familiarity with the NFL. Mm-hmm. I just think knowing what you need to know at that level is much more sophisticated. Young guy, he's had success, but I would lean more towards those top young coordinators like Shurmur, like Carmichael, like LaFleur, before I'd go with Riley, just a gut on that. And understanding, can you get a package? In other words, is there a guy like Shurmur comes and says, look at Sam, come with me. You know, you can be that bridge guy. You're going to make we'll extend the contract here and we're going to draft a quarterback, but you got to help us get there. I would look at that, the power of relationship and what can be brought to the desert to kind of keep this thing relevant ASAP.
Stay well. Appreciate your time as always. See you down the road.
You got it, Brett. Thanks again.
It's Jude LaCava with us, Fox 10. Always good to catch up with Jude. A couple other things I want to get to on the other side. Don't look now, but the hometown heroes on the basketball court are actually winning a few games more than losing. I'll get to that next. All right, a couple other things before we get out of here for the day, and we're going to go right from this into our television show prep that will air tonight and tomorrow on Fox Sports Arizona. You can check that out, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. The details of the Rich Rod investigation, including his wife having a lunch and getting involved with asking questions about her husband's behavior and all sorts, is this is going to get more sordid, is the only way to put it. So it's very early on in the investigation, obviously, but Rich Rod has been fired. That's the main story. A couple other things before we get out of here. The Suns won again. The Suns have won, I believe it's 6 of their last 9 games. And I still am not watching. I'm still not that interested. But I think it's worth noting, it doesn't matter how bad the competition is or that it's late December, the team is starting to put together a little bit of something. They beat Atlanta last night by 1. They were down 10 with 2.5 to go. Marquise Chris had a block at the end of the game. I did watch a couple seconds of the game, but that's about it. They're not that entertaining to me as of yet or interesting. They're still a long, long, long ways away. It's kind of like me finding the Coyotes games now a little bit more. Eric, are you finding either one of those teams at all? I'm finding the Coyotes a little bit more. Like the young guys, I'm good with that.
A little bit. A little bit. But they are not at the – neither of those teams are at the top of my evening viewing.
No, but they're somewheres where – have they completely bottomed out? I think they have.
I would think so. I mean, I flipped on the Suns for a little while last night, but then I got taken back to Texas Tech, Kansas, which – as a Big 12 basketball fan,
how'd Lightfoot play? I missed it.
He played okay. He does. He's not a huge contributor.
He had 8 blocks last week against Texas in 1 game.
So he was more. He's more of a rebounder, defensive guy. Yeah. They're not super big, so he does get an opportunity to play.
Christian Kirk turned pro since we last talked.
And to the surprise of no one, he was a pro when he was a sophomore at Saguaro, as I like to say. He really was. I mean, honestly, he's been training for this since he was 15. So.
Speaking of Saguaro, their head coach's name is circulating a little bit out in the open jobs, which is interesting to me.
At the high school level?
Uh-huh. It's kind of interesting, just circulating out there. Yeah. And he's out of town right now. He's at the, what is it, the Under Armour?
Yep. Out in San Antonio?
Yeah. His name is, especially in the Southeast Valley, his name is circulating. So we'll see.
Interesting. There's
some other names. Yeah. Some other names, too. All right. Eric, as always, produces and does a great job. Senior Executive Vice President of everything for this fine, fine company that we put together. Our Chairman of the Board is Jared Nielsen. He was assisted today by Edwin Rodriguez. Haley's back from her Hawaii excursion. We should have thrown her on the air and had stories. And Jordan Hamm, as always. Make sure you check out our website. You can head over there now. We update stuff throughout the day. Some of it is things that we just see that are different and off the beaten path. We're not going to do the same old stuff over and over and over and over and over. You can go 50 places to find how the Cardinals won or lost a game. It's just how the world works. Go a little deeper on some things and have some fun with it, too. We are self-funded. That means all the commercials you see in this are the sponsors. Without them, we don't do this. We are completely, totally self-funded, and we appreciate your support. Thanks to those of you watching over on AZ Central as well. Have a great day.